We'll be taking a Bible and turning to 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1 will be where we begin tonight. Matter of fact, we'll be spending the majority of our time in this text. While we talked about the privilege of prayer this morning, we're going to talk about the character of a godly woman, of a godly mother, and Hannah. We read of Hannah here in 1 Samuel 1, going all the way through, our text will be 1 Samuel 1, going all the way to chapter 2 and verse 11. We're not going to take the time to read it, but we will break it down a little bit at a time to see what we can glean from the character of Hannah tonight. We look at the time of the judges. Judges was not a successive leadership. The son of one judge did not become the judge of Israel. It not necessarily did not work that way, but it was descriptive. The judge was a descriptive term of the leadership Israel had from the death of Joshua to the installation of Saul as king of the nation. But again, they were not a continual succession of rulers. Rather, they were deliverers raised up by God to rescue his people from oppression and to administer justice. As a matter of fact, some of them were contemporary with one another. One would be judging Israel, be leading Israel over in this corner of the country and this corner of the nation, while another would be leading Israel over in this corner of the nation. And so they could be contemporary with one another. And this is where we find Hannah at the end of the time of the judges, when Eli was the judge and also a priest. And so we have Hannah coming now. And as we begin our study in 1 Samuel, we see God's last judge. Now, Samuel is going to come to deliver them from the Philistines, 1 Samuel 7 and verse 3. Thus, the book is named after Samuel. It's Israel's last judge because now they begin to cry for a king. But we're going to take our time now, and we're going to focus our time. We're going to focus our attention now to Hannah. What kind of woman was Hannah? Let's look at her character. Let's see what kind of woman Hannah was. Hannah was a trustworthy and honorable woman. What do those terms mean? If she's trustworthy and she's honorable, she is one in whom that we can put confidence. We can have confidence in her. Webster's defines it as worthy of confidence, dependable. That's the kind of woman Hannah was. She was a dependable woman. How is that? How do we come to that conclusion? Well, first of all, she was honorable and trustworthy because she was a loving mother first. Notice 1 Samuel 1 and verse 21. 1 Samuel 1 and verse 21. And the man Elkanah and all of his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. Notice verse 22. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. You see, now she's made this decision. She's going to be the proper mother to Samuel. She's going to raise him up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and she's going to give him eventually to the Lord, as she had promised in her prayer earlier in this chapter. Hannah could have said concerning Samuel, well, if God wants him, he can have him and just send him off just as soon as he was born. Leave it up to Eli to feed the child. Leave it up to Eli to find a way to see that he grows and remains healthy. That wasn't her attitude, was it? She wanted to be sure the child was healthy. She wanted to be sure that he was fed properly, and she was not going to take him up until he was weaned. She simply wanted to wait until the child was independent of her care. Then she would give him to God. She was honorable and trustworthy, not only because she was a loving mother, but because she was a woman of her word. She honored her vow. What could she have done? She could have said that even when he was weaned, you know, I've just grown too fond of him. I can't let him go. I carried this young man in my womb for 9 months. I can't give him up. I can't let him go. That wasn't Hannah. She was a woman of her word. She was going to keep her vow. She was going to do what was right. Verse 22, again, she says, not until the child is weaned. She's going to be sure that he's healthy. She's going to be sure that he's taken care of. Notice verse 24 now. Now when she had weaned him, she took him up with her to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. In verse 26, we see then that she gave him to Eli. Verse 26, and she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, verse 27, the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also have I lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord, and he worshipped the Lord there. You see? She was a woman of her word. She was going to keep her vow. She reminded Eli who she was. She was the one who stood by her, by him rather, there praying to the Lord. He thought, chapter 1, that she was drunk. Because he saw her lips move and no sound came out. She corrected him. Let Eli know what her problem was, why she was praying as she was. Notice chapter 2 and verse 11 now. And Elkanah went to Ramah to his house, and the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli, the priest. You see, they went home, but the child ministered to the Lord before Eli. He stayed there. Hannah was a woman of her word. What a beautiful example she is to us all about keeping one's word or promise. It's sad today that a man's word is no longer his bond. We have to sign 20 different pieces of paper on a contract rather than the way it used to be and just shaking one's hand. It doesn't work that way anymore, does it? Let this be a lesson to us. Let us look to Hannah to see how important it is to keep one's word. Hannah was indeed a trustworthy and honorable woman. Aren't there times in our life? Aren't there times that we may be going through when we look for someone such as Hannah to confide in? Someone as trustworthy and as honorable as she was? Wouldn't it be great for each one of us to be like that? So that when we, as brothers and sisters in Christ, fall upon hard times, we know that we can turn to one another. See, Hannah was that kind of woman. She was a good mother. She was a woman that was going to honor her word. But also, let's look at Hannah's devotion. Hannah was a godly woman. You notice that in the very first part of chapter 1, beginning in verse 2, we read there of both of Elkanah's wives, Hannah and Peninnah. We drop down to verse 5, but unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion. See, he favored Hannah over his other wife. His other wife became Hannah's adversary now. And verse 6, you see that her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. You see, she was without child. So, we go and look now and see what Hannah does. She goes and she begins after they had eaten in Shiloh, verse 9. And after they had drunk, now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. You see, she took her troubles to the Lord. She was a godly woman. Her heart led her to worship God as she brought sacrifices that she may dedicate later on her son to God. She was going to worship God. It says that she brought, as she was taking Samuel to dedicate him unto the Lord. You see her praying here. She is there in town at the time in Shiloh to worship. She's bringing her son later after she's had Samuel, and she's going to offer sacrifice. It says of her that she brought with her 3 bulls, 1 ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. See, she brought him to the tabernacle. Joshua 18 and verse 1, and the whole congregation of children of Israel assembled together at Shiloh and set up the tabernacle of meeting there. Deuteronomy 16 and verse 16, we see that 3 times a year all your males shall appear before the Lord your God in the place which He chooses. And notice at the end of that verse, Deuteronomy 16 and verse 16, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. They were going to make sacrifice. They were going to worship God. Exodus 13 and verse 10, you shall therefore keep this ordinance in its season from year to year. Talking about the Passover. Again, a sacrifice being made. These sacrifices offered were to be a sweet aroma to God. Hannah remembered all of this. She knew all of this. She was going to worship God. Exodus 29 and verse 18 tells us of that sweet aroma unto God where the sacrifice is made. And you shall burn the whole ram on the altar. It is a burnt offering to the Lord. It is a sweet aroma, an offering made by the fire to the Lord. Read of the same thing in Genesis 8 and verse 20 when Noah built his altar and offered sacrifice to the Lord. Now after the slaughtering of the bulls, after she had slaughtered the bulls, she said to Eli, therefore I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. Now what does that mean? What is the Lord just borrowing Samuel here? That's not the case. Lent means granted him to the Lord. You see, she had made a promise, and she was keeping that promise. She was offering him unto the Lord. Notice she never broke her word. She never broke her vow. She said, for as long as he lives. Wasn't a certain amount of time placed upon that. He shall serve the Lord for 8 years. He shall serve the Lord for 12 years, 20 years, whatever the case may be. He shall serve the Lord forever. For as long as he lives. She dedicated him to the Lord. Then they worshiped the Lord, verse 11. He ministered unto Eli. Notice also, not only did she worship the Lord, but that she was a woman of prayer. She was a godly woman, a woman of worship, but she was a woman of prayer. We go back to the beginning of chapter 1, and you see her in prayer, in deep distress. Who did she turn to first? She didn't go to her husband. Who did she go to first? She went to God. She went to God. She was a woman of prayer. She knew who could help her in her time of distress. It was God Almighty. Who do we turn to in times of trouble? Do we rely upon men or do we turn it over to God? Do we go to our Heavenly Father in prayer as Hannah did? We see that she asked him to remember her and not forget his maidservant. She then made the vow that if she would be granted a man-child, that she would give him to the God for all the days of his life. We also noticed that it was a Nazarite vow that she took. From that point forward, she would not drink anything of the vine. She would not touch any unclean thing. Eat any unclean thing. No razor was going to come upon his head. And he would not touch a dead body. He was a Nazarite from birth. She went to God in prayer. She made a vow. She kept her vow. After God answered her prayer and granted her a male child, she approached God's throne with praise and thanksgiving. She went to Him in her darkest hour of distress, and she turned to Him again when it was time to rejoice. She gave praise to the Lord. She thanked Him. You know, so many times we'll see people in their darkest hour of need, they turn to God, they go to their knees, and they begin to pray to God, but as soon as things let up, as soon as things get better, what do you see? You know, I got out of that rut by myself. I did this, I did that. Rather than give the praise and glory to God. Let's learn a lesson here from Hannah. Not only do we need to turn to God in our darkest hours, but we need to turn to Him when things go right in our lives. We need to turn to Him when things are going good. We need to remember God as He remembers us. We talked about this morning, He answers our prayers if we go to Him in faith. Nothing wavering. Let's notice Hannah's prayer now. Chapter 2 and verse 1 of 1 Samuel. Notice that Hannah begins with praise in her prayer. And Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. So your heart rejoices. She remembers God in her time of rejoicing. Her heart rejoices where? In the Lord. It was the Lord that answered her prayer. It was the Lord that granted her these things. She says, my horn is exalted in the Lord. Horn means strength. Her strength then is exalted in the Lord. Before she was weeping, beginning of chapter 1, she's weeping under the Lord, telling Him all of her woes. And now she's praising Him for all of these things, for everything that He has granted unto her. Her heart overflows now. Before she's weeping, now her heart overflows. Notice verse 2. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Notice that she says there is none beside Him, none beside God. There is no other God but God our Father. There is no other God but the God of heaven. There is no other God. There is none beside thee. She goes on to say, nor is there any rock like our God. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 4 says, He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all His ways are justice. A God of truth and without injustice, righteous and upright is He. Psalm 18, the psalmist says, verse 2, The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. She's lifting God's name on high, giving Him the praise that is due Him. Notice now verse 3. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by Him actions are weighed. The Lord is a God of knowledge, and by Him actions are weighed. 1 Samuel 16 and verse 7. But the Lord said to Samuel, Do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. You see, Samuel was going to anoint David. He didn't know it yet. The sons of Jesse are passing before him, and one of his sons comes through, and he looks on him and sees that he's a tall young man. He's well built. He favors, looks, as far as his stature goes, a lot like Saul. He was a great physical specimen. But what does the Lord tell him in verse 7 of chapter 16? Do not look at his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I had refused him. You see, he wasn't a man after God's own heart. He was looking for David. See, he weighs our actions. Isaiah 55 and verse 8, For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. See, God doesn't think like us. God is the God of knowledge. By Him, actions are weighed. She praises His name, lifts His name on high. She acknowledges who God is. But also notice that she is also very thankful. Going back to verse 1, King James Version says, My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies. That doesn't mean that she went back and started gloating that now she had a man child. That she had a young child, she didn't go back and gloat, but rather this phrase means that she was able to smile. Her mouth was enlarged. She was able to smile at her enemies. She didn't have to worry about them talking about her womb being shut up anymore. She did not say that she was going to torture her enemies or get even, but that she was able to smile. She now had something to smile about. She is also very thankful of the power of God. Notice verse 4 of chapter 2. The bowels of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. The bowels of the mighty are broken. They can't stand against God. Can't stand against God. She's thankful for His power. Notice also again back in verse 1, I rejoice in your salvation. You see, He has saved her from a life of ridicule. She is able to rejoice in His salvation. She's thankful for that, for the power of God. She's also very thankful that her God is a deliverer. Verse 8, He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of earth are the Lord's, and He has set the world upon them. We should be thankful, just as she was, that our God is a deliverer. He has offered salvation to all that will hear His word and that will obey it. Our God is a deliverer, just as her God is, because He's the same God. He raises up the poor from the dust. He lifts the beggar from the ash heap to set them among princes and make them inherit the throne of glory. Do we not fit that category? She is also thankful that her God is a just judge. He will guard the feet of His saints. Verse 9, notice, He will keep the feet of His saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. What man is stronger than God Almighty? There's not a one. He will keep the feet of His saints. He'll guard the feet of His saints. The wicked shall be silent in darkness. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken in pieces. Verse 10. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall He thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and He shall give strength unto His king and exalt the horn of His anointed, the strength of His anointed. You see, from heaven, He will thunder against them. If God be for us, who could be against us? Not a man. Remember, considering her first prayer, her heart was filled with great sorrow, and now she pours out, and she had poured out that her heart was feeling such sorrow, and she poured that out addressing God. But now we see this prayer, this second prayer, in 1 Samuel chapter 2, this prayer, her heart is changed. She is full of joy. She is able to praise Him, to thank Him. She pours out that praise and thanksgiving. Oh, what a wonderful woman Hannah was. A God-fearing mother, and one that was going to keep her word. We'll be putting away your Bible, taking out your song, but ready to sing the invitation song in just a moment. Hannah was indeed a wonderful woman. She was a woman from whom we can learn much. We learn much of her character. We learn of the things that she did, her prayer, her devotion. She is an example in which we ought always to strive to follow. She is one who could be trusted and confided in. She was one who is godly and worshiped God. She was a beautiful example of one's prayer life. Deep in sorrow, she was able to go to God to address her need. And when that need was met, she gave God the praise and thanksgiving after her prayer was answered. May we all do the same. There's much that we can learn from Hannah. My friend, if you're here with us this evening and you're not a member of the Lord's church, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God? If that's the case, are you willing to obey His commands? Are you willing to repent of your sin? To confess His name before men, to be baptized for the remission of those sins. Will you do that this evening? Maybe, my friend, that you're here this night and you've done those things, but have you fallen away? Have you fallen back into sin? Friend, will you come home? Jesus awaits with open arms. Will you come now while we stand and while we sing?